Today on Real Radio.
That's right. Sexuality. The emotional, physical, chemical, and spiritual benefits of sexuality within God's order is, in my opinion, miraculous. It's a revelation of God's miraculous work.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up in the Worldview Series, Pastor Jack continues What is Our Sexuality? By exploring the benefits and blessings of marriage between a man and a woman, and if practiced as God ordained, cannot be matched by any other relationship on earth. Marriage is a picture of what God has for every believer, which is fellowship, care, friendship, and love. Pastor Jack, however, warns us that simply living together is not the answer, even though it's so popular in our culture today. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It is a relational fact that physical beauty is overrated in our world. And out in Southern California, it's on steroids overrated. So what makes you say that? The most beautiful people in the world cannot stay married. Just take the freeway up the 5 freeway, 405 from here. And you'll get to Hollywood and Bel Air and Brentwood and Malibu. Can they keep their marriages together? No, they're famous for not keeping their marriage. Are they beautiful? Oh, they're beautiful on the outside, I guess. Who makes these people? Hollywood, right? It's overrated. Because you can take the most beautiful person on the outside, the cutest, what's the word today? Hot is still the word? That was the word when I was young. I guess it's, so whoever's hot, and oh, look, there he is, there she is, they're hot. And then you talk to them, and in 10 minutes or an hour, they ain't so hot. Have you noticed how ugly people get when you begin to see their insides? And how, oh boy, you know, he, she, they're the most beautiful and the most desirable. And you know them and it's like, I don't see the beauty. I miss it. What's the deal? Why? Because you know them. And listen, you got to be careful about that. You got to be very careful about that. But listen, God ordained sexuality serves our purposes because, listen, God made us to be attracted to that special person. It is absolutely true. Look, you say, well, what about ugly people? Ugly people think other ugly people are beautiful people. Well, what about somebody who's kind of, you know, average? Average people think other average people are just beautiful. I'm joking a bit because have you ever seen a very handsome guy with a not so handsome girl or a very beautiful woman with a really unattractive guy? And you go, what in the world is that all about? He is nice to her. She's nice to him. It's amazing. It's absolutely true. But God made us to view in an attractive sense. That's of God. But that's not what the relationship's built on. That's where it might start. It's like, who's that or who's she? I remember the first time I saw my wife. A friend of mine, we were playing volleyball at Newport Beach. You know where Orange Street is on PCH? And Lisa and I didn't meet each other in the cathedral. And no, I was playing volleyball at the beach, and she was walking by. And my friend said, hey, I know her. I said, what? You know her? What? And you think of that. But that's not all of it. I thank God that, my goodness, getting to know her was absolutely awesome. Because, gosh, at 18 years of age, you should have seen her Bible at 18. Her Bible was worn out, marked up. Writing, circle, verses, dates, all over her body. 18 years old. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let this one get away. Attraction, though, listen, is not limited to the physical look whatsoever. And I thank God for that because, you know what? Aren't you glad that God looks at us and that's not his criteria? Wow, I'm glad. 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." Now, please don't think that that's a man or a woman that sits in the corner and like a dope. Look at the gentle, quiet-spirited woman I've married. She just sits in the corner and sucks her thumb and doesn't say anything. That's not what he's talking about. A gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You look at the awesome women in the Bible who are the godly women of Scripture, and they were amazing women. You think of Abigail. Abigail, man, she walked right up to King David, and she said, "Hey, I got to talk to you." I mean, there's nothing like, "Oh, I'm a little male." I think a Christian woman should be the most bold, most confident, most godly, most amazing. I mean, after all, you have God on your side. I mean, you have God rooting for you. It's amazing. And I personally believe that there's a very, very tender spot in the heart of God for women. Just by his own creative acts, she came along later. Look, he made Adam, and they probably thought, "Well, I can really do better than that." But a woman's heart is sensitive toward God much more than a man's is normally. I thank God for his creation. The next thing is a mutual beneficial relationship through emotions. Emotions can be good when they're managed right. God gave us emotions. They're not evil. They can just deceive us if we follow them. They're tricky things. They're chemically based, and yet they transition that zone from being a chemical fact into the soul, our psyche, of our life and of our minds, but they're kind of like salt and pepper emotions are. Emotions are great in the right application in the right amount, right? Like salt and pepper. But emotions, if overboard, salt and pepper can destroy a meal. And emotions can kill a relationship. Our reliability toward other persons, other people, is often gauging that area of emotions, how we relate to others. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." That's how we're supposed to treat each other as Christians. Now, as a husband and wife or male-female believers, if we are supposed to treat each other, all of us, together with brotherly love, kind to one another, how much more, think about it, how much more regarding a relationship between a husband and a wife or a male or a female? I'm going to give you some advice personally. You can take it or leave it. I thought I'd throw it in here because we'd be talking about this stuff. If you're interested in someone or if you're going to ever plan on being interested in someone, I think you ought to write this down. I mean it. I'm not joking. Number one, that you both are single and biblically available. You say, "What do you say that for?" Because you'd be surprised as a pastor how many times we all hear things like this. "Well, you know what? I'm married, but I saw that woman, and I think God wants me happy." That's when I think public scourging should be allowed at moments like that, right? But I'm not kidding, though. People say that to us. So listen, number one, make sure you're both single and that you're biblically eligible. Biblically eligible. Number two, that you guys are really Christians. That's something that, I don't know, man. I see people just, "Well, I think I'm in love with her. I think I'm in love with him." Are they Christians? No, but, oh my goodness, you are flirting with disaster. Now watch. "But pastor." And then you offer your reason why you're throwing away the Bible. And every time it's emotions over your belief. Emotions rise up, control your theology, Bible goes down the hole, and you don't listen to anybody, and you get married to that girl or that guy, and then 6 months later, they get tired of it, and they have no anchor to their relationship because there's no God in their life to anchor them to it, and then the whole thing begins to come apart, and then one of them show back up at the church, and they say the marriage fell apart. And I'll say things like this in the foyer: "What do you want me to say to you? What would you like me to say?" "Well, I came to ask you what I should do." "What do you want me to say?" you asked me 6 months ago about the relationship, and I said, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. What fellowship does light have with darkness? And you said, yeah, but he's so nice. And so you stopped coming, and now, so what do you want me to say to you? I don't have anything to say to you. I'm sorry it fell apart like that. I encourage all of you later to look at the statistics in America of relationships where there's mixed faith in the relationships, how long they last. By the way, I got tons of data if you want it, but you got to look it up for yourself regarding what's really happening huge in our culture today is cohabitation. Among the young people, if you're 30 years or younger, you literally believe in living with someone, and now the culture is not even thinking about marriage. 500 kids were asked to name or count how many marriages that they would like to model in their life. And I forget what the amount was, but it was in the single digits. 5 or 7% of the kids could name a marriage that they would like to have their life built after. Young people today don't believe in marriage. And so they're saying, let's live together. They think that's the answer. Their desire, male-female companionship, they cited cohabitation as, I'm not joking, cohabitation, a sense of stability, that's not true, it's false perception. Available sex was number two. I mean, you don't have to go anywhere. It's right there in your apartment. And a sense of community, familyhood. Again, perception. Why? Because the data is overwhelming that when there's no binding, in fact, marriages, as troublesome as marriages are in America, marriages far outlast a cohabitation existence between couples. And the data is overwhelming to back this up. In the United States currently, 8% of the culture in a cohabitation stay together. 8% stay together over 5 years. After 5 years, they split up. Cohabitation's not the answer. Just because our culture's redefining marriage and redefining gender and sexuality doesn't make God wrong. We say, oh, Pastor, there's nothing for me to copy. There's no heroes in the marital world. There's no path for me. Listen, this is all you need, my friend, right here. Just do this. And if your parents' marriage got messed up and that's your argument, my heart goes out to you. But listen, God made marriage and man messes it up. Okay, Lisa and I are coming up on 33 years of marriage and it is hard work. It's hard work. You know what? It's hard work, but the amazing thing is I wouldn't change a thing. She might, but I wouldn't change a thing. Because as hard as it is, it's much better than not working at it. And that's the way God engineered it. The third thing, that you're impressed with the other person's love of Jesus. Don't get together with somebody unless you're impressed with their love for Jesus. Find out how much they love Jesus. If they don't love Jesus so much, run while you can. The fourth thing is, that's all it is, four of these things. These are rules to spare you grief. That you can see your ministry of your life as a Christian increasing if you marry that person. This is huge to me. I don't understand how couples get married. Christian couples get married and then they never serve God again. I don't get it. That's not why you're created. I want Lisa to love God more than anything on the planet and serve him. If she does that, then our marriage is going to be great. And she wants the same thing from me. If I love God more than her, she's happy. Very important. Do I sound like a father tonight or what? All right, sweetie, sit down. I'm going to tell you something here. A mutual beneficial relationship in spirit. Spiritual. The closer a person gets to Jesus, the more godly, yeah, obviously clean. I don't know what it is. Maybe this is a guy's perspective, but a woman walking with God, godly woman, these words come to my mind. She looks clean. She looks pure, spiritually attractive. Isn't that true? You know what? Christian women glow. And I don't know anything about Christian men because I'm not that way, but Christian women glow, and there's only one kind of Christian woman that glows more than the average Christian woman glowing, and I don't know why this happens, but a pregnant Christian woman just glows. Have you noticed that? Or is it me? They just glow. There just seems to be like God is on them. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Also this, a mutually beneficial relationship with the body. That's right. Sexuality. The emotional, physical, chemical, and spiritual benefits of sexuality within God's order is, in my opinion, miraculous. It's a revelation of God's miraculous work. We have gotten so busy, we run life so hard that we have forgotten how miraculous God is in his creation of people, of mankind. It's amazing, the body that God has established. God, number three, God blesses sexuality within his plan. God blesses it within his plan. The Bible says in Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. It's amazing. God blesses sexuality. He invented it, but according to his plan, church. Number one, he does it this way, with a unity of soul. A husband and wife, in the context of God's ordained protection of marriage, he has blessed them in the unity of soul, mind. Marriage and relationship and the difference between the sexes, male and female. None of this gender neutral lie. That the heart of a person, the soul of a person develops in a meaningful relationship, a monogamous relationship with that husband or with that wife. It's miraculous, ordained by God. You can't beat it. God knew what he was doing. And it unifies a couple miraculously in their minds. Song of Solomon, listen to this. Chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 4. Song of Solomon says, I am my beloved's and my beloved's is mine. He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. What a tremendous statement. I am my beloved's. Listen to the confidence of that and how their minds are unified. And I am mine, and my beloved's is mine. Notice the confession of the mind. I know my relationship is safe and secure and kept and is held sacred and it's cherished. And that husband or that wife won't do anything to disrupt or abuse that relationship. That's what God wants. I want to give you another quote from Dr. James Dobson. He says here, there is another reason widespread immorality and avant-garde attitudes are dangerous to the stability of nations. Human beings are sexual creatures, both physically and psychologically. Our very identity, who I am, begins with gender assignment and the understanding of what it means to be masculine or feminine. Virtually every aspect of life is related to this biological foundation. Who can deny the hormonal forces and the neurological wiring that shape the way we think and behave? That is an important statement. Listen, he's saying that a boy should be imprinted, planted, whatever term you want to use, infused, boy stuff. And when a boy is treated like a boy, boy stuff is formed in him. It's a fact. A girl, when a girl is treated like a girl and brought up by the parents as a girl, she's enforced as a girl. You say, what's so genius about that? It's not being obeyed much anymore. And it's people almost feel like they have to apologize that they're making their boy a boy. When I say making their boy a boy, I mean they let him get dirty. Listen, single parents, especially single moms, if you have a boy, if you can't get him dirty, then get one of us guys to get him dirty. We need to roll him in the mud and throw rocks and chase cats and cows or whatever we got to do. I'm serious. Kids love that. You'll watch a little boy blossom. And just me saying it, the young generation saying, wow, that's like radical. But it's true. God blesses sexuality according to his plan. When marriage is practiced as God has ordained it, the results can be, in my opinion, the results cannot be matched in anything, any other relationship in the universe. And that's no exaggeration. Universe, if marriage is conducted the way God has engineered it. if we tonight, as husbands and wives, or maybe you're engaged, or maybe you're dating someone, and or maybe you're single, maybe you're here tonight and you know what, you're confused. You've been brought up in this progressive culture of you make your own reality. And you're wondering, you know what, I've got all the girl parts, but I feel these kind of thoughts. Or maybe I got all the guy parts, but I'm thinking all these thoughts. Listen, you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says that God made us male and female. He made us in his own image. And if we're getting bombarded with aberrant thoughts, the Bible says bring that thought to Christ and be free. We are in a tremendous time, church, in our culture. Parents need to be parents like they have never been parents before. And I think, listen, kids do not want, they do not want another iPad, or they do not want another BMW, they don't want another $100 bill put in their lunchbox. They don't care about that. The kids don't care. They want parents. And sometimes, I think, sometimes parents are hiding behind a busy schedule because they don't know how to be a parent. And it's time that that all changed. That's one of the reasons why we started At Home. At Home's going to be changing and helping and correcting and instructing. It's good. So listen, in the weeks ahead, definitely pray for me. Pray for this congregation. Pray for people that are watching and listening. Because again, if you're 30 years and over, or 35 and over, you don't get this topic. It's like, what? But under that age, in that age group below that, this is a battle for the soul of America. It's remarkable. Father, we pray tonight and we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would send, as it were, a wind to blow the fog away from logic and reason, that our minds and our hearts would think accurately, biblically, historically, factually, and Lord, that we would be people that would, quite frankly, in our emotions, grow up and stand before you and say, Lord, these are my battles, these are my struggles, or these are my temptations, these are my areas of confusion, and I've read your word, I know what is declared in your word, but my life battles against it. Change my life. And for all of us, every one of us, starting with me, those areas of our lives, all of us have got to bring issues in submission to his word. No one's exempt from that. And if tonight you're struggling with pride and arrogance, you've got to break away and go to the foot of the cross and to his word. What does his word say? If tonight you're struggling with homosexuality or you're confused or whatever, what do? You do the same thing I do with my temper. I got to take it to the cross. These things are not automatically forgiven because our culture thinks it's cool. These things are not removed from the sin list because the governor makes an edict. Is the Bible God's word? Then we all must come and ask him to change us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called, What is Our Sexuality? A study on the role of sexuality in our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in a series titled The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know that you can donate to help keep this broadcast on the air? Go to our website and simply click on the Donate tab if you'd like to support this ministry. You can donate a one-time gift if you'd like, or you can set up recurring donation. Your generous donations are what keep this ministry and Pastor Jack Hibbs here on the air. So if you do feel led from the Lord, you can donate. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.